This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
The Hard Shoulder with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Now, as we were talking earlier about roads and the fact that there is gridlock and the fact that there is congestion and the fact that people have left €300,000 in those little baskets at toll booths on toll roads around the country, we're joined now by Brian Caulfield, who's Professor in Transportation in the Department of Civil Engineering at Trinity College in Dublin, to discuss whether or not what we actually need is more roads, not less. Good evening to you, Brian. I know that they're particularly under the last government where the Greens were in power, and there was a sort of a shift away from the policy of building roads, or maybe a disinclination to build roads. And there was certainly a 2-to-1 spend on public transport ahead of roads. Make the argument against building more roads, because I'm starting to, as someone who sits on the M50 far too often, I'm starting to come around to the idea that we do need one.
Well, I suppose the argument is that in order for us to change what we're doing in transport, we need a complete system change. We need to think about how we deliver transport in this country. So if we did this and built an extra M50, let's say, we probably would get respite for maybe 10 or maybe even 10 years where traffic would build back up again. And we saw that when we opened the M50 initially, the first thing that was done as soon as the M50 was finished is it was expanded. So what we'll know will happen is if we provide more road space, more cars will fill that road space. And that's what we've been doing in this country for decades, as opposed to looking at the system change where perhaps, you know, new roads aren't the thing that we should be doing and that we need to be investing more in public transport and alternatives to the private car. And I suppose that's, where we should be at now. It's very hard to argue against, building new roads now when you see the congestion that's out there. It's likely to cost the city $1.5 billion a year by 2040 unless we do something. And also, stacked on top of that, how many times we failed to deliver public transport in this country. It's why the short, easy win is always to build roads. And I suppose that's why we are where we are.
Yeah. I'm very interested in lots of the things you said in there. One is you said, it'll just give us respite for 10 to 15 years. I think many people would take that respite. And to me, the other thing is can we not take that respite, Brian, and use that 10 to 15 years to really work at improving our public transport? So we're not talking about sticks to get people out of their cars. We're talking about carrots. Nobody would want to have in vast areas of, say, London, a private car to go to work because their public transport is good enough that that's the best way to travel. If we were to deliver something similar here, that would happen naturally. But like the idea that we won't have any respite for 10 to 15 years is horrendous for people who have no options. And it is probably fair to say that a lot of the people on the M50, even when they build things like the extension to the Dart or Metrolink, will still be on the M50 because it won't serve those people's particular need because of things like urban sprawl.
Yep, exactly. And that's what will happen if we build more roads. More of this urban sprawl will happen. And it's hard to take back road space and it's hard to break people's habits once they form them in terms of driving. So that's another thing that is difficult to break. And all the research shows us that when we build more of these roads, you get this creep in car ownership and creep in congestion. And then, if you park all of that for a second, pardon the pun, there's the climate element to it as well. The more and more cars that we put on these roads will result in more emissions. we're very unlikely to meet any of our climate goals in transport by 2030. But by building more roads, it's just going to make it more difficult.
But Brian, you also made the point that it's costing us in terms of congestion. I presume you mean to the economy and in other ways as well. And congestion in traffic increases emissions as well. That you're saying it's going to cost us 1.5 billion a year. That would go a long way towards building roads. I mean, it wouldn't cover the entire cost, but it would. And I appreciate what you said, build it and they will come. I get that. But we'd still have that 10 to 15 year window where the city was able to move again, which it's often not. And I just don't see why we couldn't build them and then use the window to really hit the ground running with the public transport. I know that's expensive and I know we're building lots in that case. But I mean, at one stage, the Ring Road was, I said this earlier on the show, was the South Circular and the North Circular. That was the Ring Road. We would never have said, well, there's no point in going beyond that because more people will come. The population is growing all the time.
Yeah, and you've kind of answered the question there a little bit as well there, Kira. It's the cost of it, and it's also the time that it would take. If we were to, you know, greenlight a second outer orbital M50 now, it could take 5 or 10 years to come to fruition before it's constructed, and I'm sure there would be judicial reviews against it for climate grants and all these other kind of things.
It could be that wonderful thing we're hearing about critical infrastructure. We could say we need it for critical infrastructure, so that needs to be prioritised and brought to the top of the queue in terms of planning, but also on board Planola wouldn't necessarily have the final say. The government might have the final say. We might actually see something done.
That could happen. I would hope that would happen on some of the public transport projects that have been knocking around for decades. But yeah, in theory, that could happen. I suppose in order for that road to get greenlit, there would need to be a study done to show that, you know, it would alleviate the congestion, what the benefits would be. So it has to go through all of the kind of hoops that all transport and all state funding have to go through in order to be greenlit, through DEEPER, through the Department of Transport. All of those things would happen. So I think it would be further down the line from happening. There are a couple of things that we could be doing right now. One of the things that's kind of sacrosanct on the M50 is that you can only pass one point and that's where you're going to be tolled. And only about 40% of traffic that use the M50 are actually ever tolled. There was a report done about a decade ago that said, well, look, if you put more tolls on the M50, different points on the M50, that could alleviate the congestion. That wasn't done because I would imagine from a political perspective, it would be kind of, you know, it wouldn't be all that desirable to add in new tolls, but by bringing those tolls in, it could reduce, it could spread the demand, it could spread the peak in terms of when people are using that motorway. But a lot of the people that are listening to us now on the M50 have no other alternative.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I'm one of the people who rarely pays the toll because I live in Wicklow. So when I go onto the M50, it's the southern bit usually that I use. There is no toll there. So I don't get charged, but I hear what you're saying. The problem is there's no alternative for most of those people. So you're now just talking about making them pay for something that's already congested and that they have nowhere else to go. So they have to pay it. That seems to me, you know, you were saying maybe it would alleviate at certain times of the day. But like, if you have no other way of getting from A to B other than the M50, and it isn't just the M50, people are texting all over the country. Dan in Cork says, never mind Dublin, Cork and Galway, they all need completed ring roads. It's also mental that the M50 is still tolled, another tax on poor PAYE workers. It's meaningless to those with money. And another one, tolls are hidden taxes on consumers who already pay through the nose to keep a vehicle on the road, and the options are not there to avoid the toll roads. So I think you're right when you say it would be politically unpalatable to increase the tolls because people see themselves as having no other option.
That's true. And across the world, tolls are used to try to manage demand, to spread the peak periods. There's only one toll really in our country that does that, and that's the toll on private cars using the port tunnel to discourage them to use that from using that. And it's mainly a freight tunnel. But that's, I suppose, when you look internationally, what could happen is by putting those tolls, and the study was produced and it showed, it did the modelling, but the study was, I suppose, soon forgotten. And then COVID came along, and then the troubles that we're seeing with transport were kind of kicked down the road for another five or six years. But last week, it didn't get very much media attention, but last week the Department of Transport published Moving Together, which this new policy strategy that has got 32 recommendations in it. And all of it is about systems change. It's all about changing the way that we move. There's very little in it, or if anything at all, about how you build new roads. A lot of it's on, we need to do studies on congestion charges. We need to do more kind of compact development. We need to do all of that kind of thing. Yeah. And it sets out a roadmap of how we could change. But it's really frustrating.
When I hear about congestion charges, I think we're already in congestion and lots of people have no alternatives. So being charged for your misery doesn't sound like all that appealing. Can I ask you a last question? Because obviously we do want solutions. How hard would it be, Brian, in your view, to deliver a programme of significant advanced public transport infrastructure alongside another outer ring road on the, you know, on the outskirts of Dublin? Those two things in tandem, how difficult would that be as an undertaking?
I think from an engineering perspective, of course, it could be delivered. I think that the kind of areas that would cause issues would be the workers, where we're going to get the workers to do this, how we're going to finance these roads, how we're going to finance public transport at the same time, in terms of the capacity that we have in the sector for engineers, for planners. All of those are kind of things that are going to be coming up against. It's like a metro on its own will take about 10,000 people to build and construct it. So multiply that by all of these other projects that perhaps we want to do on top of all of the rewiring and that we need to do in the city, the new water projects that we need. And then as you were talking to the last caller there about retrofitting all the housing, where are we going to get the workers to do all of that? So there's a lot of capacity constraints within the system that would enable us to deliver it.
Look, you always know what you're talking about. Thank you for coming on, Brian. I'm not fully satisfied that we shouldn't build another road, but nonetheless, that is Professor Brian Caulfield, their Professor of Transportation in the Department of Civil Engineering in Trinity College in Dublin.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.